Hi, this is Kara from the Pure Rock Shop on WNJR 91.7 FM, Washington, PA, and WNJR.org. Today we have Billy Duffy from The Cult on the show to talk about the band's new album, Hidden City, and their current U.S. tour, which brings The Cult to Akron, Ohio this Friday. Billy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for asking.
Billy, I understand that there's a really cool story behind the name of your new album. Why don't you tell our listeners about it?
That's really better story for the singer, really. I'm a guitar player. Singers are a much better way of, they come up with the brilliant, exciting stories.
Okay.
I'm just in the engine room, like Scotty on Star Trek. So the listeners will just have to go and Google Ian Asprey and Hidden City, and he'll tell you all about what his lyrics mean.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I understand that the album is part of a trilogy. Is that something that Ian had planned, a decade ago when Born Into This came out, or is it something that evolved over time?
I bet he'd like people to think so. I bet he'd like to think people thought that, right?
Right.
I don't think so. I don't think he thinks that far ahead. I just think in retrospect, it's just something that, brings attention to the fact that the band, although we've been around for many decades, has actually made three albums, this millennium.
Right.
That are all sort of fairly forward-facing. And, the battle when you're a band like The Cult is that, we had some great times in the 80s and our struggle is to sort of remind people that whilst that era was great, we don't live in it, we do play songs from back then and enjoy it, but we actually, kind of move forwards and make new music and kind of try and, write songs and relate to the world as it is today, not back when people had shoulder pads and frosted hair and spandex,
Sure.
So that's kind of the battle, and in essence, that's what I would imagine that trilogy comment was about. It's not a quote attributable to me directly.
Okay.
But, of course, I always get asked about it.
Sure.
So that's kind of basically what that's about. He's just trying to get people's attention to that, because that's the struggle, everybody, wants, it's not like we're ashamed or bad with the past, because I know nobody in The Cult ever wore spandex, I don't think. we had some questionable hairdos maybe for a minute, but, I think we did quite well on the spandex and, front.
Sure. Well, with so many iconic songs, from decades ago, how do you decide which new ones are going to come into the set and, which songs to replace as you go forward with touring now?
There are just certain songs that we always play that they'd be pretty much a lynching if we didn't play them.
Uh-huh.
And we're happy to do so. But then after that, we just kind of try and freshen it up every tour, as this is a kind of a tour that's meant to promote Hidden City, the album we came out in February last year or whenever it was.
Okay.
We tend to try and put a blend of music together that complements that without getting too scientific about it,
Sure.
It's we just generally just kind of gut it out, I guess. We don't really spend a lot of time, we play with it a little bit and then we usually just settle into a groove that feels right for us and the band at this moment and sit with it. That's been our story, as a band. That's how we kind of play it, Just an instinct thing, like what feels right to play at the moment and, what needs a bit of a rest.
Sure. So I've got to ask you about your guitar sound. It's a huge part of what invigorates The Cult. Even before Ian starts singing, we typically hear a song on the radio and know it's a Cult song. What bands influence your sound early on and, how has that evolved over the years?
Oh, okay. Thank you. We've definitely been a guitar-orientated band, and no matter what we've always done, we've never lost sight of the fact that it's been a guitar-driven sound.
Sure.
We like to... But, my era, basically, my era was kind of mid-70s, glam rock, you know, Bowie, Queen, rock, okay. early Queen, okay. Roxy music, you know, music like that, Motley Hoople, New York Dolls, and then punk happened, and I just happened to have left high school when I was 15 years of age, and I saw the Sex Pistols, and a band called the Buzzcocks, and a band called Slaughter the Dogs, and these were English punk bands.
Uh-huh.
And it just kind of happened to be circumstantial that I was there, and it sort of changed my life, and as it did for many people of my era. And that was kind of, it's all in the mix of what I bring to the table as a guitar player, I guess. However, the big caveat to that is that once punk was done, which in my mind, the Pistols broke up in 78, it was pretty much done by then, 79. It was just over, really. We as fans who wanted to make our own bands, the 80s bands, we all started looking for different kind of sounds and ways to express ourselves because we didn't want to sound like terrible copies of really good punk bands.
Okay.
You know, that had been done. Do you get that? It's a big, you know, it's because there was a lot of bands making like third-rate bad punk rock music with like the uniform, like Sid Vicious. And I mean, and he wasn't even the original bass player in the Sex Pistols, nor he couldn't even play and didn't play on the album. But he became this iconic figure that loads of misguided people kind of copied his look.
Right.
And that became this uniform. And we, the original fans of punk rock, were a bit horrified and bemused. So that was why I ended up with a big Gretsch guitar and did this whole thing, was just that me and a bunch of other guitar players of the era, I'm talking like 79, 80, 81, were searching for different ways to get sounds, and we used different effects and echo and stuff and tried to express ourselves differently, and that's kind of where you ended up with the sounds of, say, U2, Simple Minds, Echo and the Bunnymen, the Psychedelic Furs, to an extent, Billy Idol, you know, I'm just giving you some examples.
That, right.
And a bunch of others, you know, there was hundreds of others, Teardrop Explodes. Before the 80s went all keyboards and like Dreadful,
uh-huh.
and I Am a Robot, you know, from a guitar playing point of view, that was kind of it. So it's a long-winded answer to your question, but that's kind of where the foundation of the music of the cult comes from.
Okay.
It's a mixture of like 70s rock and a bit of punk rock.
Okay.
And then whatever else I could throw on top.
Well, it's definitely interesting. You know, I'm 40 years old, so I came into loving the cult, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s. So to hear about where you came from when I was, you know, a toddler, that's a very interesting, you know, backstory to hear. And I'm sure our listeners appreciate that as well.
We are a rock band, but there's definitely a lot of punk in our DNA, which makes
it,
you know, different and a little different as a band. And that's kind of how it is.
Great. Well, I've also got to ask you if you've always, you know, been such a beast on stage, or if it took you time to develop the confidence that you have now with your live show.
I used to be really, really nervous, to be honest.
Okay.
When the cult first started, we were called the Death Cult. To me, it's the same band. We just dropped Death off the name after 9 months.
Okay.
Because there was kind of a little musical scene, which probably, you know, you might know in America as the goth scene.
Sure.
And that sort of started in England, and there was a lot of people kind of dressing in black, and it was all doom and gloom and vampires, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it was fun and it was good, but we felt as a band it was a bit of a like kind of pigeonholing and marginalizing us as musicians. You know, we were like, oh, you're a goth, you know, isn't that cute? And
okay.
not only were we not really goths, we just, it didn't represent who we were musically, so we took Death off the name. And why did we have Death as a name? Well, the singer Ian's original band was called the Southern Death Cult.
Okay.
And we just took part of the name when we formed back in 1983. So that's how we ended up with Death Cult as a name. And then we just thought, we just want to be like the cult will do, you know. We couldn't think of a completely new name because we'd already come out.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, taking that off probably definitely helped more mainstream the band, you know, and, you became...
Well, I mean, me and Ian got together as a band because me and him as individuals got along and we both shared a vision of just, we wanted to just make music together, guitar-orientated rock music that was cool and as modern and refreshing as it could be. For as long as we could do it, you know, we weren't in it to make a buck and then I could go and raise sheep or, you know, buy a yacht. I just, you know, wanted to, we both felt that we wanted careers in music because we'd both been around a little bit of time and enough to see the different motivations and the different ways you can go about being a musician, you know. You can get in and out, maybe if you're lucky, make some money and do something else because you don't like it. Or, you know, for us, we wanted to have that long-term
life
career.
Great. Well, Billy, we certainly look forward to catching the show this Friday at the Goodyear Theater in Akron, and we thank you so much for joining us today on WNJR-FM with the Pure Rock Shop.
Hey, my pleasure. I don't think I've ever been to Akron. I know people from Akron.
Okay.
I do know Akronites. I'm familiar with some of it, and I'm familiar. I've done my homework, and it's also my birthday that night. So,
oh, wonderful. Well, happy birthday.
I don't usually celebrate them, but you won't tell anybody, will you?
I won't. Just everybody that listens to the interview, I guess, is going to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Oh, my bad. All right, thanks for your time.
All right, thank you, Billy. Take care.
Cheers, babe. Bye.
Bye.